Morning, everyone.
Morning.
My name's Greg, if you don't know me. I'd like to speak to you this morning a little bit about Christmas and a little bit about Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. So Christmas is a familiar time to us all, a wonderful time, I think, and it's a time for family. It's a good time for family, a lot of food and feasting, perhaps, and a good time for gifts as well. I think probably gifts are the things that everyone associates with Christmas. So I'd like to tell you about the best gift I received when I was a child. So I was looking this up on the internet last night. I believe this is a Lego castle. It's the King's Castle. It's from 1984, so that's dating me slightly. And I can remember receiving this on Christmas morning. It must have been about 1985, 1986, say. And I spent hours Christmas Day building this thing, and they were trying to drag me away from it. I was very reluctant to get away from it, and I had a lot of fun building this thing. There's another photo, the thing opens up. So obviously with Lego, it takes you hours to build it, which is part of the fun, and then you play with it, arrange all the men. And that's a good amount of fun as well. I spent hours doing that, really enjoyed it. So that's a good part of Christmas, the gifts that we receive. But as we're Christians, we're more concerned with the birth of Christ. That's when we remember the birth of Christ. So let's look at what the Bible tells us about this. So from Matthew chapter 1, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.'" So this is the story. Mary was found to be pregnant before they were married, and Joseph, not being daft, he realized this is not the normal way of things. Women don't just get pregnant by themselves. So something obviously has happened. I need to really, you know, separate from this woman, but I'm being a decent man. He didn't want to make a public example of her. He didn't want to make people talk about her, because honor was very important in that culture at that time. So he said, I'll separate from her privately. But an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, "Look, Joseph, this thing, it's not another man. This is from God. You know, God has conceived this child within Mary. So don't be afraid to marry her. And when he's born, call his name Jesus." So it says, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So there seems to be some link between the name Jesus and what he's going to do. It says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So what is significant about the name Jesus? Why were they instructed specifically, you've got to call this boy Jesus? So the question is, what does the name Jesus mean? And the name Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew, means basically the salvation of Yahweh, or Yahweh's salvation. Yahweh being the name of God in the Old Testament. So they're telling us that this child is going to be salvation. And it says he shall save his people from their sins. So that's the next question. What is sin? And sin is defined, it's an old English word, and it comes from archery. So they used to have archery contests, and if you hit the bullseye, that was good, that was success. If you miss the bullseye, that's sin. So it's basically missing the mark. So God has set a mark for us that we have to hit, and if we miss that mark, that is sin. And it says that he shall save his people from their sins. So why do we need saving from sin? And the simple answer to this is that because God is holy, he is entirely good, he's holy and he's just. And because he's good and he's just, that means that he can't tolerate sin. So he can't be in the presence of sin. And an example I would give you, say if you're sitting in a cafe, you're having a bite to eat, a sandwich and a cup of tea, and the cafe is completely full. A guy comes and says, there's nowhere to sit, could I sit on your table? You say, no problem, sure, sit down. You get to chatting, he's quite a nice guy. Turns out he's a bank robber. And he's a bit of a rogue. And he's got no remorse for what he's done. He's a crook, this guy, and he doesn't care. And he may well have hurt people in the process of the bank robbery. Now, are you going to stay sitting with this guy on your table? I would argue no, because you've got higher moral standard than this guy. And you say, I'm not going to sit with this guy. He's a criminal. He's a rogue. And he's a ne'er-do-well. So, you know, clear off and, you know, find your own table. Get a takeaway, whatever. And the same way, God is like this. We have a higher moral standard than bank robbers. But God has a far, far, far higher moral standard than we do. So God, at the same way, he cannot sit at the table with us if we're sinners, although he wants to. God must punish sin because he's just, but because he's merciful and loving, he also wants to forgive sin, and he wants to bring people back to himself, and he wants to share a table with us. He wants to sit down and break bread with us and have fellowship with us. So God's solution to this, because he must punish sin, but he wants to forgive. He can't just forget the sin, because then he wouldn't be just. And he can't just punish sin, because then he wouldn't be merciful. And he has these two attributes in his character. So God's solution was to bring Jesus into the world, to let him come down from heaven, to be born as a man, and to die on the cross, so that he can punish the sin. And he would put all of the sins upon Jesus, and in this way he would punish Jesus for our sins, and we can go free, and then we can then have peace with God, and we can have eternal life, peace with God, and forgiveness. So that's the message of the Bible. That's the Christian story. So, but why Jesus? Aren't all religions the same? Don't they all go to God? Well, this is not what Jesus claimed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He doesn't say, I am our way, our truth, and our life, and there are many ways to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he claimed to be the exclusive path and way to get to God. And I think these days, many people have this opinion. Isn't it a shame that Jesus was killed? And wouldn't the world be a much better place if he hadn't died? Claimed to take the sins of the world upon himself. And he said this also, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So Jesus is saying that no one took him by force and crucified him. No, he went voluntarily to the cross. And actually, he had the power to stop it because he was so powerful. You know, he fed the 5,000. He raised the dead. He could do all of these incredible things. He could have stopped himself from being crucified, but he chose not to, because he knew that his blood would pay for the sins of the world if we accept that. And there are basically two religions in the world, I believe. There are two religions. They state this. Christianity states this. Jesus is God. And salvation is a free gift. So that God wants to give us this free gift. We can't earn it. For example, if I was to give you the Mona Lisa and I said to you, this is a gift, and you said, oh, well, that's great, but I can't accept it. here's a £5 note. That's not going to quite cover the cost of the Mona Lisa, is it? In fact, it would be a bit of an insult to give someone a fiver for the Mona Lisa, which is worth, I don't know, 20 million, something like that. So there are two religions. One says that salvation is through Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ, and it's a free gift of God. And the other religion says Jesus is not God, and you have to earn your own salvation. You have to earn your own way into heaven. But the Bible tells us that by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can't be saved. We can't be saved from our sins through our own works. The Bible tells us that all of our good deeds are like filthy rags before God. So if we go before God on the last day, on the day of judgment, and say, but God, I've done all of these good works, we're going to just pull out of our pocket all these. It's not going to be impressed. And we're going to think, all this good stuff I've done, well, it's nothing. The Bible tells us that we're saved by grace. It's a free gift of God. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And it sounds a little bit easy, doesn't it? That we don't have to do anything. We just have to believe in Jesus. We can't earn it ourselves. So I've got an example of this. If I could have two volunteers. So I've got here, because Christmas is a time for free gifts, I've got the gift of salvation. And salvation is through faith in Christ. Now, I've got a couple of guys here. I'd like to ask you, are you a sinner?
Well, I'm a good man.
Well, have you done bad things?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah.
Yeah. Would you be interested in being forgiven of those? Are you interested in salvation, free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ?
No, it's not for me.
No, you think you can do it on your own?
Well, I'm a good man.
But you said you've done bad things, right?
Yeah. Oh. I don't really want. It's not for me.
Okay. Well, you have you committed sins? Have you done bad things in your life?
I have. Yeah.
And do you feel that you would like this free gift, this gift of salvation?
Really? Yeah.
You can have forgiveness of sins, eternal life.
That'd be great.
Okay. Well, open this up for you. There's this gift inside for you.
Wow.
Can you put this on for us?
It's my size as well.
So the Bible tells us that people who believe in Jesus will receive these white robes, and they represent salvation. They represent the righteousness of Christ, because Jesus lived a totally perfect and pure life. And because he's done that, he can take our sins and we can get his goodness in a big exchange. The Bible also tells us that one day, you guys can sit down, thank you. You can leave that on. There's going to be a marriage supper in heaven, and you're going to need a robe like this to get in. Now, we're all having a supper here today of sorts. Everyone's invited, and there's no dress code. But one day, there will be a dress code. And the only way we can get this, we can't earn it ourselves, is to trust in Jesus and take that that free gift. Okay. Well, we're talking about free gifts. I've got another free gift here. This is a lipstick. It's a Givenchy, which is good, apparently. But it's no use to me, so I've got no value for this whatsoever. Not everyone is going to value this, okay? So how about we raise the stakes a little bit? I've got here a silver coin, solid silver. It's a Canadian maple leaf. Now, if you're not interested in the lipstick, you might be interested in this. This is worth about 20 quid, so it's got some value to it. Now, we're talking a little bit more value now. I guess a few more people would be interested in this. Solid silver. If they were given these away as a free gift, would you value these? Maybe you might value it a bit more. Okay, well, let's up the stakes a little bit more. This is a kilo of solid silver. Now, this is worth about £600 or £700. Now, if this was given away as a free gift, I'm guessing a few more people might write off and say, yeah, I'm interested. I want my free gift of a kilo of silver. But £600 or £700 might not tempt you. So we've got Krugerrand solid gold. That's worth about £1,000. Now, more people interested now. Yes, okay, now we're talking. Okay, so I'm sure more people would write off for this. So let's raise the stakes a little bit more. Now, the Harris Exchequer couldn't stretch to this, unfortunately. This is a kilo of gold. Now, that's a kilo of silver worth about £600 or £700. This is a kilo of gold. This is worth £30,000. That's why I didn't bring one today. Now, I'm guessing that everyone in this room would be interested if they were given these away free, right? So let's up stakes a little bit more. This is 12.5 kilos of gold. This is £376,000. Now, with this, you could pay off your mortgage, you could buy a nice car, nice holiday, and everyone would be interested in this because there's a real value to this. But the Bible tells us we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So this stuff, you can bury this in the ground for 3,000 years, and it's still the same stuff because it's not going to corrupt. But the Bible describes gold and silver as corruptible things, because one day this earth is going to pass away. God is going to come and judge, and it says the elements will melt with fervent heat. So the world's going to be judged in fire because of sin, because of all the terrible things that are going on. If you've seen the news with Syria now, it's a complete ruin. We've got children being killed left, right, and center, and it's just a mess. And unfortunately, no politician in the world can solve it. But one day, there's a king coming who is going to solve it. And he's going to purge away all of this stuff. So we need to be right with God before he comes back. And the Bible tells us, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, all of this stuff, this is the world, but the Bible tells us that if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, where's it going to get you? All of this stuff is contained in the world. So the Bible is telling us that your soul is more precious to God than all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the money, all of the fine things in the world. And that's why Jesus came to die for us, because he valued us, valued our souls so much that he would rather go the cross and die and spill his blood, that we can have peace with God, we can have redemption, we can have everlasting life through trust and faith in him. And when I say trust, it's like a parachute. If you're on an aeroplane and someone says to you, do you believe in parachutes? You say, oh yeah, I believe in them, yeah, no problem. Would you want one? Well, you might put one on then, yeah. If you're in an aeroplane, you might be about to fall out possibly. If you put on your parachute and then jumped out, would you flap your arms or would you trust in the parachute? You're not going to flap your arms and try and do it yourself because you know that's not going to work. But the parachute is going to save you. It's going to protect you. And it's the same way with Jesus. He tells us in the Bible to put on Christ as if we're putting on a parachute. And that's all it means to do, to trust in him, to believe in him, and he's going to save us. And that's the true message of Christmas. And when I was a kid, I thought that this Lego castle was the best gift that you could get. But now I know that salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is the best gift that we can have. So God bless you all. Think on these things and happy Christmas. Amen.
Let's just close in prayer after that message, shall we? Dear Father, we thank you for this happy morning. We thank you for the families, for the children. We pray for every one of them. And we pray that they're going to grow up to be men and women of faith. And we thank you for the message that Greg has given. Lord, we have a glorious gospel. We pray that you will not take that away from our thinking, but that we will continue to think about it, to dwell on it, and that many will find faith in our Lord Jesus because of it. Thank you, dear Father. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as Greg has told us, you are coming back in glory to judge those who do not belong to you, but to glorify and lift up those who do. So we thank you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.